Amen. At this time, we're going to hear the scripture reading. Tammy's going to read for us a couple of verses. The first one comes from 1 Corinthians 15, 54, 50. Actually, could you read Romans 10:10 for us? We don't have it on the screen, but Romans 10:10 first, and then we'll read 1 Corinthians.
Romans 10:10. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved.
And from 1 Corinthians 15, 54 to 58.
When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.
And then from 1 John 4, 9 through 12, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to join me in our prayer of preparation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. So today we wrap up our series on world religions. We've looked at what makes Christians Christians, our commitment to love God and our neighbors. We saw how when we have differences in the church, we always work to draw others into the kingdom of God. So our actions, they must flow out of that. When people are not in the church, we still work to draw them into the kingdom, but we never judge their souls. We leave that up to God. It is God's job alone. We looked at Judaism with the rabbi and then Islam, wondering if peace is possible. Then last week we brought it all together in a roundtable discussion, which was a lot of fun for me, hearing some different views from members of our church. Today we look at hope. Is there any hope for these groups that are so different, so determined in their own sense of what is right and who is wrong? And we look at it with three words in mind: faith, hope, and love. Every day I run with my dog, and I've been listening to podcasts on lots of different topics. It drives my wife nuts because every morning when I come back, I have to tell her about the cool story I just heard on my run. But now I'm giving her a break. Now it's your turn to hear it instead. The title of this particular episode was "Religion is the Root of the World's Problems." Now, you know, as a pastor, I'm immediately interested in such a provocative statement. What reason could they give that proves religion, whichever one you believe in, is the problem? The title actually came from a survey done by U.S. News that showed the majority of people surveyed believe that religious beliefs are the primary cause of global conflict. That makes sense when you think of Sudan. The north is Muslim, the south Christian. There's the Congo, Pakistan and India, and even Israel and Palestine with Jews and Muslims. Plenty of conflicts seem to have a religious root. But as I mentioned last week, some of these things are mixed in with other reasons for conflicts, like politics, economics, and even mental illness. The program continued by saying religion is taught in different ways in different communities. Some encourage people to hold on to their convictions with a sense of mystery, knowing that we don't know everything, which creates an openness toward others. Other groups, though, teach a heavy conviction. There's no openness, no mystery, there's just one answer and rules around that one answer. This can be a huge problem because religion is often the most important part of a person's identity. So when someone tells you you are wrong, that your beliefs are bad, a person with only one answer immediately feels threatened. It's not just a set of beliefs, but their ego is now at stake too. It creates us versus them thinking and a need to defeat the enemy. I can see how this kind of religion would lead to global conflicts. So what's the answer when people are sure that the other side is wrong and a sworn enemy? The answer is human connection, to get to know people that are different from you. When we do this, we find it builds empathy. When you think of conflict between the three religions we've looked at in this series, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, there is no greater site of conflict than that of Israel, a place where all three religions claim important origins. So as we look for signs of hope among these three religious traditions, our last stop is talking with someone who has just returned from the Holy Land. We are going to talk with Bill Ruggles, who traveled with his son for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Can you please welcome Bill Ruggles here with us this morning? All right, Bill, so you're going to take us through a little bit of your journey and some of the things that you discovered. I forgot the clicker, so we can see some of the pictures that you have. Let's dive right in. Tell us a little bit about your trip, and here's the first slide.
Great. Thank you, Pastor Brian. For those of members of the parish who don't recognize me, it's because I normally worship on Saturday evenings. So it's great to be here with you on the Sunday morning service. And I gave a little bit of a show and tell last night. Today's going to be a little bit more targeted and a little bit more focused. But I've only been back for about 72 hours, still fighting the effects of jet lag. There's a seven-hour time difference between here and Jordan and Israel. So bear with me, but I think I can pretty much get it together. I'm close to getting through that jet lag. As you can see here, we had a group of about 42 people. I'm sure you can't count them, but this was a group that primarily came from north central New York State. Anybody here from Rochester, Corning, Buffalo? Okay, that's where most of them came from. I just found out yesterday that Jackie, our church office manager, is Jackie here perchance? She might try to make it. She is from that area, and her sister worships at the principal congregation. It's called Northridge. It's a non-denominational Christian parish. There's actually four campuses. And a large number of people were there, including pastors. Of the 42 people, I think probably 8 or 10 were pastors themselves, so really added a scriptural value that I didn't expect to get out of it. Let me just go through some of the basics here. Started on January 26th, ended February 8th. We arrived at 4:45 in the morning at Newark Airport, but the traveling conditions were great. We visited not just Israel, but also Jordan. Many of you may not realize, but there are a number of holy sites in Jordan, and we visited three of them that I'll share with you in a minute. A tour sponsor was Reverend David Whiting, who is the former senior pastor at one of the Northridge churches. He's now in a private sector working in the Houston area, but this is, I believe, his sixth time in Israel, and really, the guy really knows his stuff, and he led some great Bible studies during the when we go to different locations. He'd pop over to that particular part of the Old or New Testament, and we'd read together the scriptures and then talk about the insights. Two participants, as I mentioned, we had 13 in Jordan, 42 in Israel. So there's a smaller group for the three-day Jordan portion. Okay. The sites we visited in Jordan, you may have. How many of you have been to the Middle East before? You've been to Jordan or Israel? Good. Okay. Well, afterwards, please join us in the reception in the fellowship hall for some discussion. We can talk about maybe common observations we've made. This is my first trip to Israel. I had been to Jordan once before for two short visits, but these are all kind of initial impressions that I got. So we went to Petra and Mount Nebo and Machaerus. Those are three very important areas, not just to buy the Bible, but also to Christians, but also Jews and Muslims. In Israel, the non-Jerusalem portion of Israel. So these are the sites that we visited that were outside Jerusalem proper. It was a lot like trying to drink water out of a fire hose. Each day we'd come back and shaking our heads and saying, I got to write this down, because we didn't necessarily stick to the published itinerary that we received ahead of time. We mixed and matched based on conditions on the ground and the latest information about where there were no lines. So You can see there's a significant number of locations up there that we covered just throughout Israel, but outside Jerusalem. Then if you look at what we covered in Jerusalem, Mount of Olives, Gethsemane, Temple Mount, Wailing Wall, in its tunnel, Mount Moriah, the Dome of the Rock, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This was a fabulous, as he said, I hope it won't be once in a lifetime. I hope, actually, I'm already thinking about going back, and I'd love to be part of a group of folks who might want to go from our parish here, but there are other tours going over, and I've made quite a few contacts networking, and so I know other organizations that are planning them coming up. In terms of the theme that Pastor Brian mentioned, there are, you know, three concepts. I'm going to cover a little bit different order. Love was the first concept we covered in the Saturday evening service back when the series began. And so I looked at some of the scriptures that focused on love, and three of them kind of jumped out at me, and they all basically say the same thing. One is in Deuteronomy 6:5, one is in Matthew 22:37, and the other one is in Luke 10:27 that all talk about how we are commanded to love love the Lord our God with all our soul, with all our heart, with all our mind. And then the other one in Luke 10:27 adds the secondary part, which is loving your neighbor as yourself. So as far as the trip, in terms of how I experienced that, clearly the most predominant feeling of love that I felt was for my son. My son's in his mid-30s, still single, doing very well professionally, but we haven't always had a great relationship. And this was his idea. It was his group. He went to worship up at Northridge Church in Rochester when he was working at a hospital system there for over a year. So he's the one who found out about the trip and said, "Hey, Dad, you want to go with me?" And I said, "Well, let's see. When is it?" He mentioned the dates, end of January, early February. I had an invitation from a friend of mine from Amman, Jordan, a Palestinian Christian, for invitation to go to his daughter's wedding. That was the end of December. I said, can't go to both. So what we do is figure out a way so that we could go together in January. We went a day early before the rest of the group, spent an evening and another day with this friend of mine and his wife, his new married daughter and new son-in-law, and then their other daughter they had. We had a great time, even before the formal group came. We met up with them at the Amman airport and then went down to Petra, directly to Petra. But I really thank God for how that worked out, because the logistics sometimes can be crazy with connecting flights. We flew through Frankfurt. We got to Amman, and sometimes things go wrong, particularly internationally. But everything went so smoothly. My son and I had a great time together. We bonded. We've never been closer right now, and I praise the Lord for that. So that was the first thing where I experienced that agape love, that love that a father has for his son. And I think he actually feels the same way toward me. And you'll see in a minute why I think that. But stay tuned here. Another sense of love that I did not expect were our two tour guides in Petra, in Jordan. Trips with Petra, Mount Nebo, and Machaerus was led by, believe it or not, a Assemblies of God Christian gentleman. His name is Fadi Abu Jaber. He comes from the Abu Jaber tribe of Jordan. And interestingly enough, with Fadi, we found out over the 3 days we were together that he's coming to the United States with his wife for his 40th birthday, which was the day before yesterday. And four of those days, he's going to be in New York City. And guess who's going to be getting together with him? So talk about fellowship around the world. This is a plant that was seeded. And if everything goes right, we'll be having dinner with Fadi and his wife, Christina. 2 weeks, they'll be here. The other gentleman, Mickey Nikolaev, is a Russian Jew who, when he got to Israel, did not feel connected, had an identity crisis, and through a series of circumstances was invited to an Anglican Catholic church in Jerusalem, and he accepted the Lord. So he's now officially a Messianic Jew. So it was another tremendous insight and another new relationship. I don't know if Mickey's coming to the New York City area in the near future, but I'm sure we'll have a chance to get together. Those relationships, I think, are things you don't expect, but when they come, you say, "Wow, praise the Lord. This is the living God in action, connecting you with people you never would have expected to meet." So there's the love portion. How about the faith portion? That's another very important aspect of each one of our walks in Christ. And so I think there's another a set of scriptures that kind of jumped out at me. Since you hear a lot of talk in the Middle East about Abraham, Abraham is considered by, as he mentioned, Muslims, Jews, and Christians as the father of their respective faiths. And so you hear a lot of talk about Abraham being the father of Ishmael for the Muslims and Isaac for the Christians and the Jews. And so I think this verse, which talks about how Abraham got up and loaded his donkey, took with him two of his servants, and he was about to sacrifice his son on the Mount Moriah. And, of course, at the last minute, the Lord, because of his faith, said, stop. I don't want you to go forward. I just wanted to see if you were faithful. In Romans, they also reference that. It says, therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham, because he is the father of us all. The last one was from Hebrews 11:1-2. I oftentimes think of this one. My wife actually has an Afghan that has this sewn into it. It says about, now faith is confidence that we hope for. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for, starting with Abraham. So in terms of how those scriptures came alive during this visit, I already mentioned my son. On the left, you can see there's two of us, one with a bathing suit on, the other one with a shirt on top. That water, body of water in the background on the left is, can anybody guess what that is? Sea of Galilee. I think I heard somebody say that. The Sea of Galilee was right outside our apartment door for three straight nights. We thought, geez, we were talking about baptism and just what, you know, Bryn Elizabeth just went through this morning. I was baptized in a Methodist church that was part of United Parish back in, 1952, a few years back. And so I had been through that process. I'd been through the confirmation process. I'd gotten my Bible when I was 10 years old. I went through all the different rites of passage, but I had never been baptized by immersion. And so they challenged me while I was there, saying, look, you're right at the, you have the Sea of Galilee at your doorstep. We're going to be going to the Jordan River in a couple of days, but you want to take advantage? And I said, well, why not? Let's go. So this is us coming in after my son, Will, had baptized me by immersion. He used kind of like, he used to be a Greco-Roman wrestler. And it was amazing how easily he took me down. I'm a pretty big guy. But he knew right where the leverage points were, and shoo, and I went. Unfortunately, I already had grabbed my nose, so I didn't get water up my nose. But it was a very invigorating circumstance. I think I talked to Will on my way here, and I think he and I share that both as our favorite experience, mm-hmm. is that I decided to just renew my faith. I think I have a very strong faith. Now this is an outward exhibit of my faith, and we had somebody there to both take pictures and a video recording. The other gentleman on the right really freaked me out. Is one of the sites we went to down near the Dead Sea, where you can float on the water, by the way. But there's a site called Masada. Has anyone ever been to Masada? It was a great. We got some people who've been there, done that. Okay, let's talk afterwards. Masada, you can either hike it up, or you can take a what do you call it? Not a monorail, but a
cable car
of sorts. You can take this thing up and back if you want. I decided I wanted to walk up there, which several of us did, but I was tired. By the time I finally get up there, that's a tough climb. Excuse me. And when I got there, and I just saw a bunch of people milling around, and I knew I had to meet up with my group. And then I noticed that there was a guy there. Just for some reason, I didn't recognize him or anything. I said, "Hi, how are you? Where are you from?" We exchanged pleasantries. We just happened to mention that I grew up in North Central Massachusetts. He said, "Oh, really? I used to work up there." I said, "It's called Lunenburg. It was United Parish in Lunenburg." He goes, "What? Lunenburg, Massachusetts?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I was the pastor there from 1980 to 92. And I said, "You're kidding me. And we're meeting here on the summit of Masada? My first trip to Israel?" And I didn't know if it was his first trip. Turns out I was actually in my younger brother's wedding that he presided over 37 years ago. Talk about a small world, providential encounter. That was really weird to run into him. So we changed information, and we're going to be in touch also afterwards. The last concept I think is important here, and I wanted to finish up with, is hope. Hope for the future. And there's a number of verses, but I chose Isaiah 40:31, which says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And that really sustained me by getting up to Masada, the top of Masada, which was very rigorous. The second one is also from the Old Testament and is from Isaiah, which is basically looking forward in the future. "They will bring all your people from all the nations to my holy mountain in Jerusalem as a offering to the Lord on horses and chariots and wagons and on mules and camels, says the Lord. They will bring them as the Israelites bring their grain offerings to the temple of the Lord in ceremonially clean vessels." And then the third one is truly looking into the future because it hasn't happened yet. This is from Revelations 3, chapter verse 12. "The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name." So that's yet to come, and it's something we have to kind of look forward to. That's scripture. And then my last two slides basically focus on that key city there, the one that God chose thousands of years ago, and that is Jerusalem. Having been in Jerusalem and around Jerusalem, we spent 4 full days there. So it was kind of, it's the most recent experiences that we had, and you saw how many places within Jerusalem we covered. The most important one, I think, was the first one, was the Mount of Olives and Gethsemane, where the garden is. That's on the eastern side of Jerusalem, and you're looking across here. You can say I did kind of a selfie with me looking toward the camera, but with Jerusalem in the background, the most prominent landmark in those pictures from that perspective is the Dome of the Rock, that gold dome you see in the background in the lower picture. And then there, maybe 200 meters away, there's another Muslim mosque called the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Both of those were among the first mosques built back in the late 7th century, early 8th century. So that was very fascinating for me to talk to various people that were there, including both Israeli and Arab Muslim security guards. They're very concerned about the safety of the people who go there. You're only allowed to visit twice a day, between 8 and 10 a.m. and between 1 and 2:30 in the afternoon. And so the last slide is basically from Psalm 122, verse 6. "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." There's so much happening there. There was we had no moments where we felt fearful for our safety. But just 2 days ago, there was some kind of a scuffle involving the Golan Heights and Upper Galilee, where we had spent a lot of time just 7 days earlier. So things can and do happen, but the Lord protected us. The Lord kept us safe, and here I am to share it with you. God bless you. Thank you.
Very good. Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. Thank you. My hope is that you've heard just a little bit of a window into what it looks like to be in a place where these three different religions, you know, they're sharing space, they're working together. Bill has some incredible things that have happened. I hope you have heard some of his excitement and enthusiasm. Bill said he would love to go back to Israel, so if you're thinking about it now because of this, talk with Bill afterward. And also this incredible moment where your son baptized you in the river. These are the kinds of things, where else could something like this happen in the world? What an incredible moment that must have been for you, Bill. So thank you for sharing just a little bit of that with us. And my prayer for all of us is that we would be people of hope as we look at other religions and how to deal with those, how to interact with people of different faiths, that we might be people of hope, trusting Jesus Christ in the midst of all the things that, all the troubles of the world, that we place our hope in Christ. So let's take a moment and join me in prayer. God, we pray that our eyes would be open to your work in our lives, that we might be people of hope, that we would see your Holy Spirit at work in this world, and that as we travel, as we encounter other people, as we build relationships, deeper relationships with our family, that we would be inspired, we would be touched by your Holy Spirit, that we might grow in hope, grow in our trust of you, that we would be your people and respond appropriately. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Bill has also shared that he'd love to continue the conversation. He has studied Islam for many years. If you want to talk with Bill about some of those experiences he's had, and particularly Islam, he'd love to have that conversation with you. So we invite you to chat with him after today and continue that conversation. With that, Tammy.
Please rise and join with us in singing Hymn of Promise, number 707.
Join us next week for our new series on prayer as we seek God with our biggest dreams and greatest fears. Now receive the benediction. Get ready to serve the Lord. Go enjoy sharing the good news of Jesus' transforming love and power for all. Go in peace. Amen.